Welcome to a podcast of a sermon delivered at the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood in New Jersey. Our congregation is a place where you will find inspiration in the richness of diverse beliefs and the power of community. Detailed information about the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood is available on our website, uuridgewood.org.
We light the chalice with these words. We light this chalice for the light of truth and the warmth of love and the energy of action as we gather together in the circle of community. Come into this community where we welcome atheists, humanists, pantheists, agnostics, or I'm just not sure about any of it. Come into this community where we welcome theists, Christians, Buddhists, Muslims, Jews, pagans, and many other faiths. Come into this community where it is not a contradiction to not know for certain what you believe. Come where instead the questions are encouraged, the differences celebrated, and the journeying of wonder and worship is just about to begin. This morning, as we move into our time for reflection, I want to acknowledge the senseless tragedies of the last week. We pray for the families and the communities of all those who have been affected by the shootings in Dayton, Ohio, El Paso, Texas, and Gilroy, California. We are grateful for all those who helped to bring people to safety, and we are sad for all those who were impacted by these shootings. We know that we meditate not only with our spirits, but with our bodies and our voices as we continue to acknowledge the desperate need for sensible gun control throughout our country so that no more tragedies like this can occur. I light a candle, this candle, in honor of those families affected by the events of this last week and the hope for immediate change. Let us enter into a spirit of meditation for all that is in our lives from these words from our hymnal. Let us open our minds and our hearts to the place of quiet, to the silent prayer for the healing of pain and the soft, gentle coming of love. As we continue to share all of these meditations in our hearts, we are thankful for a community of which to share them with, and for all that may come from meditations being turned into action. May it be so, and amen. To see the world in a grain of sand, and heaven in a wildflower, you hold infinity in the palm of your hand, an eternity in an hour. William Blake, The Auguries of Innocence. When I was a child, after Sunday services, I would sneak outside my church where there would be a large field and woods. I would like to run around and feel the breeze. I would see the beauty in nature all around me and feel enlivened by the natural world. Sometimes lying in the grass and looking at the clouds that pass by, I would feel at peace, a part of the whole world. There in those moments, I could lose myself, and I thought I could feel the immensity of the world and the spirit of life itself. This experience matches one of the founding spiritual experiences of atheism, as told by André Comte-Spoonville. Some, if not most, atheists who take their atheism seriously are deeply spiritual, painting meaning with relation to the systems of nature and reality. They ask questions at the very base of human experience, marveling at being alive and struggling head-on with meaning they find in this life. Instead of worrying about the afterlife, they focus on this life as it is. Instead of looking for the signs of the miraculous, they see the miracles in the natural world already abundantly found. I bring up atheism today to address some of the many questions posed to Unitarian Universalists about our faith. Many Unitarian Universalists are atheists, while others are theists, Christians, Buddhists, Muslims, pagans, humanists, and a number of other theologies and practices that continue to enrich our spiritual diversity and community. Yet there's one question that many outside of Unitarian Universalist communities ask me. How can atheists go to your church? What is a spiritual atheist? Isn't that an oxymoron? And while it's a question that's commonly asked outside of our church, I'm also found that Unitarian Universalists ask that same question. What does it mean to be a religion, a faith, a society, a congregation, a church that welcomes atheists? So today I want to put some of those questions to rest, as well as explain why Unitarian Universalism continues to remain and should remain a home for those across the theological spectrum. First of all, well, what is atheism? Simply put, is a person who does not believe in God. Yet that comes with a whole slew of other questions. What type of God? Some atheists simply do not believe in the Judeo-Christian God, yet leave room for a universal consciousness or some other kind of entity. There are some atheists that believe in nature itself and could more be translated as a religious naturalist, taking nature to be ultimate reality. There are other atheists who call themselves humanists, who focus on our human relationship and our human will to good. There are many, many different kinds of atheists. Most usually, however, atheists do not believe that there is a personal entity or transcendent being that is called God. Of course, for each person, the definition changes, just as it does with every other religious or reality of religious belief or faith tradition. Just because people do not believe that there is a personal or transcendent being named God does not cut them off to spiritual or meaningful experience, just as we read about in André Comte-Spoonville's little book of atheist spirituality. André says that for many people, when the world and nature lose the sense of being created by this independent being, the world stretches open to reveal a reality and universe as expansive as the everything that it is. Without a name to call the totality of life, the mystery of the universe and its creation lies open to our exploration. André writes, quote, "To be an atheist is not to deny the existence of what he terms the absolute or the totality of the world, nature, creation. Rather, it's to deny that it's transcendent, that it has a personality, that it is God. Therefore, an atheist does recognize, well, reality, nature, the largeness of the world, the overarching view of nature and reality within existence. Atheists, too, recognize the stretching of time, the infinite versus the finite. And many atheists, agnostics, and others on the theist spectrum have renamed the ultimate view of being, as nature, as becoming, or simply called it the all. Yet for every person who is alive, there is some point that we have to face that all, that recognition that we are small and finite compared to the stretches of reality. Lying under the stars is a simple way to remember just how much reality and life there is outside of our small lives. In General Assembly of 2013, past President Reverend William Schultz spoke about our relationship to creation itself. In his sermon, he showed a video that takes the viewer from the earth to the largest stretches of the known universe, and then all the way back in to the segments of the subatomic level of life. After all of this, he said, quote, "You and I do not need to understand quasars or black holes or string theory or cosmic inflation to be stunned into silence by the majesty of being itself." One of the realities of being human is the understanding of the finite nature of our lives in the face of the unfolding universe, which stretches out to the all. André Comte-Spoonville recognizes that this confrontation between the finite and the infinite that happens for atheists can be the foundation of their spiritual life. I'm going to take a moment. I would understand that many atheists shy away from the word spiritual, maybe because of its use of traditional senses, or just because atheists do not always believe in individual souls. André, however, says that the spirit, in its simplest understanding, going back to Descartes, is the thing that thinks, the person that loves, that contemplates the remember, that I think, therefore I am moment. Therefore, for André Comte-Spoonville, spirituality is the confrontation and an encounter of the thinking spirit with the unfolding all, that cognition and consciousness of the finite self to the infinite nature of the world. And this can be transformational. So therefore, for André Comte-Spoonville, there are actually spiritual practices that help atheists reflect on finite human nature. As we talked about earlier in another reading, sometimes atheists even pray. It doesn't look like the traditional prayers we're used to. There's not a dear someone. But there is a moment of meditation and reflection, right? They pray not to ask for things, but in meditation and contemplation of the amazing gifts of life themselves. But just as there are other spiritual practices in other faith traditions, the same is true for atheists. Doing yoga, breathing, meditating, hiking, journaling. These practices can help atheists embody the perspective of humility in nature and the wider world, which can lead to a deep sense of peace and serenity. Many atheists take a primary concern with morality and ethics, as well as being a large voice for social change and justice, since their focus is on living this life and changing this world while they are alive in it. Chet Ramo is another atheist, though his particular kind of atheism is called a religious naturalism. He entitled his book, quote, "When God is gone, everything is holy." This perspective summarizes some versions of atheist spirituality. For some, God can be an incredibly restrictive bag of concepts, confusing and elusive, and sometimes damaging when tied to more traditional and conservative baggage given by more harmful religious voices. Ramo writes that when one leaves it, one is left with a thirst for meaning and a deep sense of mystery that is given to us by our humanity. It is this that Ramo wants others to return to. Sometimes when a restrictive set of understandings of what the divine looks like is taken away, one is left with themselves and the infinite, ready to explore what holiness looks like and how everything is holy. This freedom to reconstruct ideas of what we mean by words like holy or our facing of the intimate is what I feel lies at the heart of our Unitarian Universalist faith. We commit not to structure what the holy is, but to encourage every single person to pick up the brush of meaning and craft it for themselves. This is why I believe it's so vital for Unitarian Universalism to continue to house both atheists, agnostics, and theists. Because for some, God can be a word redefined, that when it's able to be redefined, has a lot of power and personal connection. Just as for atheists, when you let go of the word God, there is more of an appreciation for life. This yin and yang continues to help our faith get even deeper, talk even further about the values we care about and what matters. To give you a small example of why I think this diversity within our faith is so important, I think about my own family. My father is a chemist, who, when he's talked to me about what is spiritual, he's told me about the basics of atoms and molecules. He tells me that atoms and molecules cannot break down. And so once he said, because of that, when you breathe the air, you breathe the atoms of Buddha or Jesus or Zoroastria. My father is an atheist, but he never stops from seeing something so utterly profound about our world. And he is married to my very Catholic mom. My mother, who's had lovely, wonderful arguments about the nature of Jesus and the love of God with me. When she came to marry my husband, she went and visited the UU minister at his congregation at the time and said, all right, what beliefs do I have to give up? And the minister said, you don't have to give up your beliefs. She really honestly said, I don't have to give up Jesus? It's like, no, you don't have to. You can still do that and be Unitarian Universalist. And guess what? Both my parents now religiously go to our home church every single Sunday. They have both spoken from the pulpit, and they both prepare the food every single Sunday. And both of them feel a deeper connection, both with their own personal faith and with their community, because of their differences, and not in spite of them. This is profound, because there aren't many other spaces like this. There aren't many other places where differences can be celebrated instead of being the thing that tears people apart. And historically, in our Unitarian Universalist faith, this has been part of our legacy. And I mean going way back to the 1880s. Being a little bit of a history nerd, I'll give you a little version of why the 10 things commonly believed among us was created. In the late 1880s, the Unitarian Church almost split in half between the Boston Christian Unitarians and the more atheistic or humanist Unitarians that traveled out west to create new churches. There was a large disagreement about what it meant to be Unitarian. And at that time, in 1887, William Channing Gannett wrote the 10 things commonly believed among us to bridge the gap between the Unitarian Christians and the Unitarian humanists and atheists at the time. It is a beautiful outline and actually very much reflects our 7 principles that would come later. We've always been a faith that wants to make more room for those differences between us and to celebrate them. And when I think about this, the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood, you reflect that in what you do. The home of past Reverend Kenneth Patton, the home of many ministers that have come along your way, but also on your website, you say that here at USR, you will find humanists, theists, agnostics, atheists, Christians, Jews, Buddhists, and so many other theologies and cultures, respected and honored. You claim it is part of your commitment to radical welcoming, that you hold a space for multiple theologies, in this house of seeking and questioning. You say that you don't believe that any one of you or any one of us has the right answers about God or what happens after death or the nature of the soul. Finally, you say what we do agree on, though, and what you will find abundance of here, is the importance of working for a more just world. It is all of the theological backgrounds of people who come into communities like this that continues to make steadfast our importance of working to a just world. It helps us build the free church we dream of. So I encourage this tension that happens in our churches about using the word God and not using the word God, because it points at the unique relationship that Unitarian Universalists have with each other. We recognize that we are all called to craft our own theology and our own relationships with wider meaning. With that task, we must be conscious and deliberate in our conversation about what words we use, as well as willing to make ourselves a little uncomfortable in order to grow as a community. We are able to speak about the mystery of life and the totality of nature without God, and we also cannot let go of the word entirely for the freedom and versatility it gives many of those in our communities. It is our work to construct our honest beliefs about the world together. And the Unitarian Universalist Church is a place that it is across our faith because of the legacy of those rich questions and the legacy that Unitarian Universalist atheists and humanists have given to draw that circle wider. So come one, come all, dare to enter into a community of various beliefs, dare to be a home for God lovers and atheists alike, for the nuns and the I'm not really sure about any of this and the Buddhists. For here we get to challenge, we get to commune with each other and expand our understandings of meaning in worship and the presence of the mystery which passes all understanding. I invite everyone here to come take a trip under the stars with me, to come lie in the grass, to feel the grass beneath your feet and the brush of wind over your head, to stand together in awe, knowing that we may call the experience by a different name, but knowing we are one in being part of the universe and within this world together. This is what it means not to think alike, but to journey together. May it be so. Please join in the words for extinguishing the chalice printed below. We extinguish the flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of love, and the energy of action, burn bright in our hearts until we are together again. So the next time someone asks you, how can an atheist go to church? Tell them they not only go to our faith communities, they help lead it, they help build it, they help shape our denomination and movement. They make our spaces better, just as all of us do. Because we are here, not to think alike, but to journey together.